So next, we'll move on to the public comment part of our meeting. It's the first opportunity set aside for public comment. Anyone wishing to provide comment, please step forward to the speaker's podium and clearly state your name and address for the record. I was going to give the whole speech about you have 3 minutes and we only have 2 hours, but I don't think we have very many people here for public comment. And you gentlemen have a slotted spot in our agenda, so you'll be speaking later. So if we have anybody that would like to step up to the podium or stand and...
Hi, I'm Kevin Bailey, Vegas Valley Four-Wheelers. Let's keep wheeling.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your support, too, and all you guys do. I don't think there's anyone else. So we can move on through the public comment section, the first part anyway. Next is the approval of the minutes for March 31st, 2021. Everybody got a motion?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Thank you. Next is approval of the agenda for May 26, 2021. If we want to hold, combine, or delete any items. I just have a correction on the agenda. It's just the name, the spelling of their monument. Will you please let her know? It's Avi.
Avicomay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pronounced different than what people want to say, Avicomay, but it's actually, the Mojave pronounces it as Avicomay.
Okay, so instead of the middle, the middle, on the agenda, it's spelled differently.
Oh, okay.
It just needs to get...
It won't impact the agenda, but yes, I'll make sure that I correct it.
Correct it. That's all I have for there. Do I have a motion? No problem. A motion to approve the agenda as it's... Steve, motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Dave Demarius, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
The agenda is approved. Thank you. Next is our informational items. These are for discussion only. These are things just to be brought up for the future. We can't have any discussion on them, actually, but just items to identify. The first one, identify emerging issues to be addressed by the committee during future meetings. Does anybody have any additional items we want to put on future agendas?
I don't know if it's been brought up, but I would like to put in here, I would like a discussion about the end of our term and discuss the possibility of whether we want to recommend that it continue or let it end.
Actually, it's an agenda item. It's actually in our business. So we're going to get that done, Steve. Thank
Very
you.
Good.
Anything else?
Go ahead.
Thing that Senate Bill 170 and 320, is this the lands bill?
No.
No,
it's not. It's something to do with OHV use.
Is there a lands bill in here at all?
That's actually an item on our task.
Task stuff. Okay.
So we should be able to bring that forward anytime to discuss, correct? Amelia, the lands bill?
I don't know if anybody knows
where
it's at.
No, I think you have to put it. It would have to be on there on the agenda written.
Oh, okay.
Well, let me see. So you don't have it as a regular item just to be able to discuss your items list.
So can we then go ahead, as Mike said, and put it on our next agenda to actually...
How can we find out about it, though?
I'm in touch with Zach Jorgensen.
Oh, okay,
with Congress. Yeah, so...
I thought that's what brought us all together.
That is. And so they haven't had any real updates to me yet. I know that we're trying to get a meeting together with a few individuals.
I think in between this date and the next date, you'll be able to determine if it needs to be on that next agenda.
Correct, right. And we'll make sure it's on there.
Mm-hmm.
We will have an update. I'll tell you that we will have an update. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Perfect.
I'd like to add, look at the historic trails closed in the Clark County Conservation Area.
Okay. Did you get that, Amelia?
Discuss historic trails?
Yes.
In what area?
The conservation easement.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll make sure we have that on the next agenda.
Yeah.
Anything else? All right. Next, announcements of general information that may be of interest to committee members or the general public. I know that several organizations have events coming up. Kevin, if you were the valley, you have your October.
Right, Hump and Bump is scheduled for October 28th through the 31st. Home camp will be Carr County Fairgrounds, and then we'll be recreating in the Logandale Trails and the Weiser Valley. We are permitted for 4 more years with both BLM and Valley Fire State Park.
And is that for, is it open to UTVs as well, or is it just for Jeeps?
It's full-size vehicle only.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. It's a great event, so I'm just...
UTVs need an event.
And Snore, any...
Our midnight special race is in June, July 15th and 16th.
Can we bounce back up to that number one real quick as it relates to what Kenny's talking about and the other activity? As it relates to us as the OHV committee, help me out here, trying to make a recommendation that we allow these outdoor things to happen going forward. I don't know if it's going to be an issue or not. Kenny, what do you think in terms of permitting and stuff like that? Do you think it'll be no problem? Or should like the OHV be saying, hey, county, we recommend that you approve like these activities, MRAN and whatever?
It's basically up to BLM.
Yeah, it's not a county issue.
Going along with CDC, and they're watching them so close. That's where the permitting issue, we're running into that right now with a permitting issue for MRAN race that's coming up in about 3 weeks.
Well, they've got to get the, starting the 1st of June, they're going to drop out all restrictions anyway.
Okay. So we won't have another issue like they had.
Good, okay. All right, any motorcycle MRAN or anything?
The 26th of June, there's a night race scheduled out at behind the Nellis Dunes in the Pabco area. Still trying to get our permit settled. Pabco and the BLM are having a little bit of a argument, and it's holding us up.
What's the argument?
Pabco doesn't want us to use the road to get back to our pits, which we've done for years and years, but they have the permit to operate their factory back there, even though we don't get close to the factory, but they don't want us using their blacktop road that comes around behind there. And that's really the only access, and BLM's fine with it, and they're kind of like saying, you know...
Amelia, let me call Pabco tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
We, Clark County, paid for that road.
Okay. They did. Right. That would be very, very nice.
Hi, I'm sick of people. I'm not nice today.
Well, Commissioner Kirkpatrick is in the building. I like to put that on the record. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for your support.
I also, it's not OHV related, but it is Memorial Day weekend, and there are several activities. Saturday morning at 7 a.m. at the Southern Nevada Veterans Cemetery is a flag-in. An event where anybody can go out and volunteer. It's through the Nevada Department of Veterans Services, and we will be planting American flags on every grave there at the facility. It's over 26,000 graves. So if anybody wants to come out and join in on the festivities, you're more than welcome. Memorial Day weekend is actually a weekend of remembrance and reflection, not necessarily barbecues, but because our military and our veterans have given us the opportunity for our freedoms, I think it's time we pay respect. So just want to put that out. There's a lot of community events for Memorial Day. You can look at different calendars. I know that there's an event out Monday at the cemetery. Also, I believe City Councilwoman Victoria Siemens is having an event in Spring Valley on Saturday. I will just check your local calendars, but there's a lot of different wonderful events to be able to pay respect. And I think that's it. Any other... community, off-road, perfect.
So I do have one thing. So we met recently with Moapa Valley, and we're talking about economic development out there. So one of the things we talked about was the OHV community. So they no longer, Charles Law stepped down. So Nate, who's the police officer, offered to take his place. They're having tons of trouble with the tourists that are coming, going through all the roads and everything. So what they would like us to work on is a map of all of those streets that people can get access to. So we've been working with NDOT and the Highway Patrol so we don't ticket people as they're coming to the gas station to get gas and go back. So they would like us to create a map for them. We also told them we would work with NDOT to create a thoroughfare on the side of the highway so that people could access it. So we don't have a lot of details on what that map would look like, but Lookendale Trails has a nice map, but we need a city map so that people know how to navigate, because it's creating havoc for all of them out there.
I like the idea, though, that,
the more the information we can get to the public.
I do a lot of riding in Utah, and what they've got regular road signs that says designated OHV.
I agree.
And that's what they need to do. It makes it very simple.
Yeah, we talked about the signage too, so we're trying to get NDOT. They have a 200-foot right-of-way to let us utilize that, so.
Let me know how I can help.
Okay, no, that'd be great. And then that way we could kind of do something. There is a big interest out there to put some more campgrounds in. The Glendale side, as well as closer to the Lookendale Trails. And then we will be, got a black grant to pave the entrance, so from Liston Road all the way to the top of the visitor center for Lookendale Trails. So we'll actually pave that, which will cut down on the dust and the
complaining. Make the community happy. So. I'll try to make the community happy. But we'll reach out to your office then and find out how different organizations can help with that project.
That'd be great.
All right, so let's see. The next item will be the organizer of the proposed, and I'm going to let you say it again because I don't want to butcher it.
Abiquimet.
Yes, that. National Monument, to discuss how the monument will allow for the protection of the land and maintain it for recreational and ceremonial use. So, gentlemen, you have the floor. When you step up to the podium, if you'd make sure you say your name and your organization for the record.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Step on a budget. My name is Gabriel DeCara, and I'm with the Nevada Conservation League. I'd like to thank all of you for allowing us to speak, myself and my colleague here, Alan O'Neill, who, as he said, is a former superintendent of the Lake Mead Recreational Area. We're really lucky to have Alan's wealth of knowledge here with us. I'm here on behalf of a coalition that supports the establishment of a new national monument here in Southern Nevada, the Abiquimet National Monument. And I'm going to go through a relatively brief presentation on why we think this monument is important, how we think our goals overlap with the goals of folks like yourself, recreational users, OHV users, et cetera, and then talk about potential steps forward and also answer any of your questions. I can't promise that I will know all of the answers, but I will absolutely take everything down and get back to you once I find out. As I heard from a little bit earlier in this meeting, sometimes the workings of the federal government are not always super clear to anybody interacting with them in any capacity, whether they be, you know, recreation folks or conservation folks. That being said, I'll dive right in. So a national monument is a permanent designation for public land. It's designed to protect values and resources, and it can either be established by an act of Congress or through the Antiquities Act by the President of the United States. A national monument is not the same as a national park. A national monument is a pretty flexible designation that kind of, what it does is it says that this place is important, and it leaves a lot of the interpretation of how that land should be protected and how that land should be used. It leaves that up to the managing agency and also, obviously, the president or the legislators who are interacting with it. I think when we've had some initial conversations with folks, they hear national, they think park, which means a lot of stuff gets cut off for them. And I just want to be super clear that that is not our goal here. What we can protect with the monument, as I said, so one of our goals with this national monument is to protect all existing use. I'm going to have a map on the next slide, but as all of you are aware, a lot of the land in Nevada is already federally protected. It's just kind of, in Southern Nevada specifically, it's kind of protected though with a patchwork of different designations and different use cases. And there are also some donut holes area in that land that we'll come to in a bit. What a monument would allow us to do is essentially take all of the ACECs and the conservation areas and some of the land that is part of the alphabet soup of Southern Nevada, and lock all of those existing protections and accesses into place under the auspices of a national monument. And so that lets us both protect recreational access as well as the protections for bighorn sheep or the dark night skies or the other cultural and recreational resources that are out there in this area. Part of the reason why we consider a national monument and kind of protecting this land in perpetuity important is because it is constantly under siege. I'm going to hop to the map here real quick. Alan, it's in here, right? The wind project. So some of these donut holes here, they're land that's not protected currently by the ACEC. And in, I believe it was 2006, a big corporation wanted to put some big old wind turbines out there, and they almost succeeded. There was a really long legal battle between a bunch of folks, including some Searchlight residents, that eventually ended up suing the BLM. And after, I think, about 12 years, just in 2018, they won that suit, which was great. In February, another corporation that has ties to that first one filed for another application to build a slightly smaller large turbine wind farm in the same area. So their argument is the BLM said they couldn't do it for XYZ reason. Well, they took care of it by kind of shrinking everything down a little bit, and now they're going to try again. One of the first folks on board with the creation of the monument is Judy Bundorf, who's a Searchlight resident. She was the woman that sued everybody to get this to stop. And as she said at the last Searchlight Town Advisory Board meeting, she would love to stop having to sue the government, and she would really like for this land to just be protected. And so what turning this land into what a national monument designation would do would preserve existing access, but it would not allow for further development. So it wouldn't allow this land to be sold to a corporation for any sort of large-scale industrial development. Here's our proposed map. There's a bunch of color schemes. And again, some of this kind of goes into how many different kind of designations there currently are out there. Everything that's blue, whether that's filled in blue, that's what we are hoping we can designate into a new national monument. Obviously, everywhere there's the shaded lines, is the Pirate El Dorado ECEC, then there's some BLM wilderness and some NPS wilderness and the recreation area, et cetera, et cetera. But everything that's filled in with blue, that's what we hope to protect. We worked out this boundary and kind of this guideline in conjunction. We met with folks from the Searchlight and Laughlin Town Advisory Boards. We met with Native American tribes who consider the Avikwame Spirit Mountain area one of their most sacred sites. We've met with scientists who are and environmentalists who are concerned about maintaining, you know, for example, a migration corridor for bighorn sheep, that kind of thing. What this would essentially do is it would connect all of this protected land into one big protective space that we wouldn't have to keep insisting not be zoned for heavy industrial development. And this last point, I think, is really important in terms of again, that recreational aspect. It is our proposal, and it is the only proposal on the table, that this land be managed by the BLM. It's my understanding that when land is managed by Fish and Wildlife, permits, for example, are handled a little differently, but BLM has the infrastructure and the process in place to, for example, allow motorcycle races out there. That's what we want to continue to allow.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
How do you guarantee that, though? So I have three monuments in my district, and nobody helps me clean them up or maintain them. So, one, who would do that? And two, how do you, and we were promised in the monuments in my district that we were promised that there would be a planning committee that would come together so we could mark those roads to ensure that they stayed those roads. And we were 6 years down the road, and crickets from everybody. So how would you guarantee that happens? Because what happens is there's miscommunication amongst the groups, and then this very group ends up with nothing because that's not the intent. And I was at the Board of County Commissioners when people were talking about this, and none of the commissioners kind of really knew what it was. And so now it all makes sense. But how do you guarantee that? And who's going to fund it? Because BLM doesn't clean up nothing today.
Well, I suppose you're talking about the Gold Butte National Monument.
I have Gold Butte, I have Tule Springs Monument, and nobody helps me do any of that. And I have the Saddle and Sunrise, and nobody does anything.
Yeah. I mean, funding is an issue, and of course, COVID hasn't helped with areas like Gold Butte and such because of the planning and such. But, you know, our hope is that we can get enhanced funding for the BLM to manage that. And I understand that Tule Springs, it took a while for the Park Service to get the staff and the planning processes underway. And you know, they've had a turnover in superintendents there, but I understand things are going much better now. And
we're going to have our first meeting in 5 years, so I'm excited this week.
So, I think that's...
I mean, but how is the... So, if you do the Antiquus Act, it's pretty broad, so it doesn't allow for legislation to include different things, no time frames, no nothing. If you try to stick it in my public lands bill, which is... You know, I know you're smiling, but I'm frustrated because, you know, it's always give, 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 but we don't ever get a secure thing back. And I'm trying to find the balance.
Yeah.
And I've been in those meetings where your folks have said they don't want anybody on it, not even mountain bikers. So how do you guarantee that that happens? And I, like I said, I'm grumpy today, so it's a perfect opportunity for me to have this discussion.
I think a lot of it is, I think Gabe said that, you know, involving the local communities. And so that they feel like this is as much their proposal as a proposal that came from outside the state, from national conservation organizations. So they feel like they want to play a role in kind of the formation of this monument and how it's managed. So, you know, the advisor committee that's set up as part of the legislation and says that they feel like one of the, at least the Searchlight folks, feel like maintaining that existing access on the backcountry road system is top priority for them. Maintaining the ability to hunt in that area, primarily bighorn sheep, but you know, there's small game too, and there are some deer there. But, you know, maintaining the ability to camp and such. So, you know, we think it's very important to retain these existing recreation. I'm an off-road vehicle. I have a Jeep and I'm active in the backcountry. So I know how important it is, particularly you get older, my age, where I can't hike into the wilderness. My recreational experience is driving the backcountry roads and enjoying the scenery. So, you know, we put this map up here to show that's, you know, the designated routes, which are within the proposed monument, are the same routes that have been designated since almost two decades now. So, you know, the intent is to keep...
Are they marked today, though?
What's that?
Are they marked today somewhere to know that?
Most of them have a designated route marker on them. Some of them are old and need to be replaced. But, you know, by and large, you can find your way. And I've explored almost all the roads back there, and you know, some of them are in rough shape, but a lot of them are easily
now. I would just want to see some guarantee that they are marked, because this committee has spent a year trying to get roads designated that have been trails for years and years and years with nothing but pushback from your very groups. So that's why I felt a little frustrated today.
That's why I was smiling, Commissioner. So the folks that are on board with this monument, there are four main conservation groups, again, as well as Native American tribes, as well as folks from local governments, as well as folks from just private citizens. And the folks who agree on this monument, a lot of us have different opinions on the lands bill. So there just isn't always across the board agreement. What I will say, I think that your point about who is going to pay for all of this is a good one. It would be BLM, it would be the federal government. You're right that does take too long. However, our concern is that the alternative is whether it be however it happens with BLM, that someone says, well, it's a lot easier for us to just sell this land, put a wind farm on it, sell the energy to Southern California and be done with it. And what we would hope to do is protect this land. And I agree that the current system and the current funding is not necessarily adequate. However, when the alternative is allowing large industrial development in our backyard, we are hoping that the monument will provide that alternative. Just real quick, some recent polling on the environment in Nevada, especially this last year, folks care a lot more about going outdoors. We are hopeful that will continue, even now that folks can spend time indoors together. And specifically, 74% of Nevadans would prefer that Congress emphasize conservation and recreation on public lands instead of, again, deciding that the best use for some of our public lands is to pump a solar farm on it or a wind farm on it. The outdoors industry is good business for Nevada, and it will continue to be. I don't have the information on here, but there's a recent economic study that studied small towns in the American West that were essentially gateway towns to national monuments. What this study found was that there was an 8 to 10% job growth in these communities without wage inflation. So these new jobs didn't scare out existing jobs, and they didn't inflate wages that would hurt small businesses. What they did was created new jobs in these communities that helped these communities grow. And so what we're doing, again, these are our partners, the National Parks Conservation Association, the Wilderness Society, the Conservation Lands Foundation, our alphabet soup. We are meeting with local elected officials, stakeholders like yourselves, as well as local communities. So we have met with we've spoken at the Laughlin Town Advisory Board meetings, we've spoken at Searchlight Town Advisory Board meetings, we've spoken at Boulder City Council meetings. The Boulder City Council, which we are grateful for, saw fit to pass a resolution in support of the monument, again, specifically because they want to protect recreational access, and also because they believe that it would be good for Boulder City, it would be good for business to have a national monument in their backyard. We are maintaining a dialogue, so like I said, right after this, I'll ask if you folks have any questions, we'll try and answer them. If I don't have answers, I can come back to another meeting. If your meetings are packed, I can send emails to whoever I need to send emails to. But this is a long-term process, and we know that it's a conversation. The same way that we're hearing your concerns, I've got a meeting coming up with some of the folks from the hunters and anglers. We've got meetings coming up with conservation groups who want to know how this will affect them. We want to hear from as many folks as possible and get people on board because, again, we believe that our goals are all the same. We want to keep spending time out this land without having wind turbines a couple hundred feet tall blocking our views. And we're also waiting for further development proposals. So as I said, this corporation, Coleman Wind, they have filed another application. The BLM is in the first stage of reviewing it. We believe, and again, this is just our belief, that if the BLM says, hey, actually, this still isn't going to work, that they're going to revise it again and attempt attempt to develop this land again. And so we are, again, we believe that the establishment of a national monument is kind of the best way to preserve what we have right now. And with that being said, are there any questions that any folks have? Okay. Excellent.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
Kenny?
I put my hand up. But
so our group holds a competitive event up near the McCulloch Wilderness Area, truck races. Mm-hmm. And what I'm my concern is you guys aren't going to make the management plan on this. It's a BLM.
Yes, correct.
So you have no control over what they're going to do. You can make suggestions, but at the end, it's up to them. If they say, you know what, that's not going to be conducive to this national monument, we're not going to allow competitive events. They can do that.
Sure. My understanding is that yes, that's true. But what we're asking for is them to manage the land as a national monument the way that they are currently managing it, which allows for races, which allows for permitting and all these things. And also, in addition to having conversations with folks like yourselves, we're having conversations with our federal delegation. We're sitting down with Congresswoman Susie Lee, Senator Cortez Masto, to say that this is what our goal is. Our goal is to preserve access. Our goal is for, yes, the BLM will develop a management plan, but I do believe that with congressional oversight, we can really emphasize that what we want is to preserve existing access.
I think in drafting legislation, you can put strong direction, a wording in there that will give direction to the managing agency about what the expectations are for management. I mean, it won't cover every detail because of planning well, but, you know, given general direction to keeping the existing recreational use and the existing designated road system, that kind of language would be direction in the legislation to the management agency that ends up managing it.
So, and the last one, Lincoln County, because that's exactly, yeah. they eliminated competitive events when all the players involved said we want competitive events, and they eliminated.
Which one was
the one in the last one they did in Lincoln County?
So the concern is with the truth is with BLM. So based on the 2030 plan, BLM now sends out letters that says these are our priorities, and if you don't fit in this priority, it's probably not going to happen. So regardless. So that it'll conflict even in a monument. So unless you put some language in there where there's a local plan committee where you say designated trails can be used as existing as a priority, you would have to list it as a priority because, and I get both sides, but your groups, your friends, and many different groups that you have, they're all great when we're working towards a monument, but no one's nowhere to be found when it's time to actually put that planning committee so that we can designate those trails, designate that access. And, you know, quite frankly, when you're in a monument, now who provides the public safety? Because if I'm waiting for BLM to come from Nye County to get to someone, or the 1-800 number that people are calling, that's another concern. So I get it, and I get the solar. I wish y'all would do the same for me and for the solar that they want to put on Mormon Mesa or the Red Solar projects, right? Because the BLM is telling me, oh no, 2030 plan, these are priorities. So we can't designate everything as monuments because we're not protecting anything except for not bringing in what you guys don't want.
So,
and I'm just trying to be super honest because I've been dealing with this for 3 days, and I'm super frustrated, and I'm more frustrated that you all didn't come talk to us, because now I understand what you were saying at the county commission meeting,
so,
and it makes me want to take back the resolution, because it was furthering what we asked it not to do, because we do a great job in Nevada.
We had previous meetings with Commissioner Naft and a significant chair of his district, as well as Commissioner Gibson. Everyone has asked us to do our best to reach out to local communities and to local stakeholders, and that's what we have spent the last few years trying to do. Again, a lot of town advisory board meetings. To your question about public safety, I believe that because, and Alan please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that since so much of this land is currently ACEC and like our, is BLM currently responsible for the public safety?
They are, and they don't show up for a few hours.
Sure. And the, you know, again, just speaking for our my organization, we would wish that the Department of Interior was fully funded so that all these things could be taken care of. But unfortunately, that's not always what happens. And the threat of these large wind developments is something that a lot of folks on the ground in these communities, in Searchlight and Calamari and Laughlin, it is something that's very pressing to them. And it's something that's very pressing to all of the environmentalists and scientists that want to make sure that this land is conserved and for conservation purposes, as well as recreational users. A point that Alan has made before, which I think is a valid one, is that if they want to build a bunch of big wind farms out there, they're going to need to build roads to those big wind farms. And like you're seeing with this this race that NREN is trying to put on, those would be private roads. And that access may not always be protected. Regardless of what corporations say, I agree with you that the federal government isn't always as transparent as they should be. But a private Swedish company is going to be a lot less transparent.
I would like to see it all go away, quite frankly, wind, solar, all that, because it's not really public land usable anymore, right? So it's now a bunch of mirrors along I-15 corridor, or it's a bunch of wind things. So it really goes against what we all are trying to protect, public land use altogether. So I understand what you're doing, and I'm super supportive, but here's the thing. I live it. I have three monuments in my district that we had these kind of conversations, and guess what? We didn't get anything that we were promised, and Gold Butte was much better off when it wasn't a monument because people actually took care of it. Do you know how it works now? I have to go and get permission from the BLM to grade the roads, which takes 6 months, so I can't even do it before the big holidays anymore. So now I spend tons of money going and getting people with search and rescue because I could have graded the roads and done it right. So I'm just saying that if you were gonna do that, I would ask, please, be consistent across the valley, because wind is no different than solar, for one, and for two, get those designations first. Make that a priority as part of the legislation, but your groups never want to put that in there. They say, oh, we'll put a planning committee together, and it never comes to fruition. And we end up losing more ground by being outdoors than if we didn't. So I get it, and I'm asking Commissioner Knapp, what's the plan to protect some of that? Because in all fairness, on the public lands bill, we've taken it on the chin from all sides, right? Because one, for 30 years, I gotta make a plan because it takes that damn long to get through Congress to do something. And it takes me 10 years to get the water to wherever I'm gonna build, so. But at the same time, trying to create some long-term planning so that I grew up here and we raced, we rode our motorcycles on Decatur Boulevard when it was Tonopah Highway. We drove to Tonopah Highway. That's how we got to the bus. And a lot of new people don't understand that. If you guys spent as much time as you do on Red Rock, as you do on all these other areas and all these other outdoor venues, it would be phenomenal, because OHV matters to many of us that started the Jeeps, the visiting the trails, the protect, but at the same time, we protect the planets all day long. But usually when renewable energy, it always supersedes everything, and then we end up with less than what we started with. So that's all I'm asking.
Be consistent throughout
the valley.
I appreciate that, Commissioner. Thank you.
Well, it's Maryland, but I'm just saying, be consistent, because there's a balance to be had. And we can't, if you keep taking away from those of us who started here, we're just moving. And I would hate to say that, but I'm going to move to Utah because I can actually enjoy their public lands. Can't do it here, it's fenced off.
Yeah.
And I grew up here when it was enjoyable.
It wasn't the same, but
Mike, I think Mike cried.
So to Kenny's point, in the national monuments right now, the ones that BLM already manages, you have a 35-mile-an-hour speed zone in there. So to Kenny's point, it's up to them. And what we think, like to Commissioner Patrick's point of view, it's like, here's my opinion. And I don't mean to be rude. I'm from Boulder City. I don't trust the new people in Boulder City because now there's freaking like solar panels going all along the freaking freeway now. I can't believe that. It's ridiculous. But anyways, it's kind of almost like we're getting told this at the 11th hour, so whatever. I'm not sure why you went with the national monument designation instead of maybe like a recreational area that you can't put any solar or renewable projects and keeps, you know, because there's less requirements. I'm afraid, no offense, but if you say environmentalist, that's a bad word to anybody who's a native Nevada, right? Like, that's a bad word. Like, it's like almost like, ugh, because they want to take everything away and never let us go out and use the desert ever again. And that's how we see that. But anyways, so I'm assuming this lady and Searchlight prompted this?
I think I've been involved in this ever since the 90s. I was superintendent at Lake Mead. The issue of protecting Spirit Mountain because of its connection to the human speaking tribes. It's their point of emergence. To them, it's their most holy place. It's their place of creation. And we got Spirit Mountain itself designated as a traditional cultural property on the National Register. But at that time, because they don't like setting boundaries and Native people boundaries, they look at boundaries differently than we do. And so, I had an unspoken commitment to them that we could revisit this area sometime because Spirit Mountain is just a mountain. It's not their traditional lands or their sacred landscape. This is their sacred landscape. So the monument was driven by a number of things, protecting the ancestral lands, overlaying the ACEC, as you all know, is primary for protection of the desert tortoise and species, but it doesn't protect the cultural resource, the dark night sky, the visual resource, and the natural quiet sense. So we figured the monument had the most flexibility of all those, that we could keep the existing recreational uses, we could protect the ancestral lands, and we could protect the dark night sky, and that seemed to be the best formula for accomplishing what different people were coming from.
So what you said you had.
And sorry, real quick to answer your. I'm trying to figure out how to use my left hand. Okay. To answer your earliest question too, I understand that it may feel like it's the 11th hour, but we don't even have legislation yet. That this is going to be a long term process. If we had a bill that we were trying to get passed right now, that would be one thing, but that's not what we have. And so what we're hoping to do is develop this in conjunction with all of you folks from the county, private stakeholders, other local governments, so that there's transparency and clarity on what is in this legislation, what the goals of the legislation are, and what we want the monument to actually do.
You said you're meeting with Masto, but like our entire lands bill got blown up by Masto, so we don't really trust her. At all, and so I'm afraid, like you, what you really want, you guys might be sincere, and you're like, "This is what we want."
She put most of it back.
Oh, she did.
She put 90% of it back.
She did. I was gonna say, it's back in the newest one. Well, it was at our last meeting, though.
But it was a meeting that I went to where we had many different groups, and not one group wanted to support OHV.
So I don't want to be like, Debbie Downer on this. I'm just, because we've been working on this, I'm sure you guys have been working on this, and we just want to make sure that I'm just afraid there's so many pieces that things get overlooked, right? And you're like, oh, we had good intentions, but oh, we didn't think about this, and it didn't go in, and then...
We have been working in cooperation with all those other efforts. The reason why we didn't want this in the public lands bill is because there's still a lot of mixed feelings among a lot of people about that bill. And this one's a little bit straightforward. We're not against renewable energy. It's always location, location, you know. And this is the worst possible location for a wind farm. From a recreational standpoint, it destroyed. I mean, you're talking about, you know, even with the smaller project, 70 miles of 36-foot wide roads and 29-mile transmission thing. Think of everybody that recreates in that backcountry there. It spoils the backcountry experience. So we're hoping to avoid that and have a standalone piece of legislation that's not tied into, you know, disposal and sprawl and all the issues that go in that. I'm trying to satisfy the interest of the various groups, working hard with the local people on that. And that's why we wanted to meet with you all and saying, hey, you know, a monument's probably a lot better in terms of retaining your interest than having a bunch of renewable energy in that particular area. That's kind of...
So why wouldn't you just make it an ACEC then all the way to the front of the road?
What's that?
Why wouldn't you just extend the ACEC to the front of the road?
Because the ACEC only deals with species. Doesn't deal with protecting the cultural. This is a very important cultural landscape, historically and...
But an ACEC does take all of that into consideration, for sure.
And I believe also that an ACEC can be changed more quickly than an act of Congress.
Isn't that why the whole lands bill was about? Because ACECs can be changed? I mean, that's why we wanted designated the four different areas, Logandale, Searchlight, so it'd be in those areas so that it couldn't be changed unless there was another bill that came about. So I understand, I understand that. How do we fight? Because solar is taking away all of our recreational land, and that's why there's over 200 applications right now with the BLM.
Yeah.
So I understand.
You have 344,000 acres of solar in Southern Nevada.
So I think, if I'm understanding it correctly, and I know I've talked to Moran and Steve and other off-road organizations that have met with you, that the primary one was to try to fight, and that's what the lawsuit was about, is to fight the wind farms. Mm-hmm. Because then if the wind farms come in, then no one gets to use it. It stops all access, pretty much. Is that correct? Am I understanding that? You know what I'm saying? So how do we stop? I think the question is how do we stop those kind of projects, large projects, like our, including solar? How do we, you know, we've been fighting that forever. So how do we, that's why we're trying to get those areas nationally designated. It may not be the perfect, so how do we do that?
That's just kind of my point, saying the 11th hour to Commissioner Kirkpatrick's point. Just human nature is once you start going down this line, it's hard to say, well, you know what, maybe the National Monument wasn't the best idea. Maybe we should have expanded the ACEC. And I just see that it's not you guys, it's just human nature. People are like, no, this is what we're all like in on this, right? This is what we're pushing. And that's just my point in terms of like, hey, what should we do to protect this area? And then to get like the commissioner's input and maybe it is a national monument. I don't know. Maybe you guys already did this. I don't know. This is all new to us, to me.
Well, that's not the 11th. Like you said, this is not.
Well,
so
it's the 11th hour in their minds because they're pushing, they're going to ramrod the national monument. They're not going to consider it the ACEC.
Some of our organizations that work on monuments in Nevada and out of Nevada, but we don't have draft legislation right now. What we're hoping to do is get a coalition of stakeholders and local governments and get folks on board with the idea, and that's when we would start crafting legislation and figuring out how to move forward. There's no bill that we're workshopping.
But we are. They met with.
Well, I'm just saying the thing is, in this room, there's six different types of recreation. And how many, if you were going to do a working group, what would that look like? Because I've been on them working groups, and it didn't bode well for me because I was the only person that actually was on my side, and everybody else was against me, so it didn't help me. And then it's Gold Butte, right? I worked pretty hard to bring the community together on Gold Butte, but here we are today, we got nothing, and so I'm a little suspect, right? So we were promised planning, we were promised designating trails, we were promised all those things, and we've seen nothing until actually recently. They called and they asked for money, and I said, of course, but I don't have any. But how do we ensure that, let's plan it first. Let us help you plan those designations first before you bring in all those other groups. Work with us first so that we can at least show you, because what happens to us, we get drowned out on what trails actually exist. You know, the Spanish Trail out by Moapa, we got drowned out on that whole conversation. So let us, I'm willing to work with you if you let us first show you what those trails could look like. So then you could help us defend why they should exist.
Sure.
Steve, you've had your hand.
This dialogue is very impressive, and that's why I reached out to you guys, and we all met, and Debbie, you attended, and Ken, you attended, and so did Joe M.A. from Moran. We opted to keep it isolated so that we could discuss it and then bring it forth to you.
Sorry.
But what's advantageous now today is, and I believe you arranged it, you know, have them come down here and speak with us, which thank you very much, by the way. You can say it all better than I can, and therefore you get the information.
Well, I've been fighting the solar projects the last 3 days.
You weren't able to attend.
Pretty
pissed
off about
it. And neither was Dave when we sent the email out and organized the
And it was a public meeting. It wasn't our community meeting.
We
will make that clear.
We were just listening to what they had to say and then give them some questions. So with that being said, now my questions are, after we met and talking with Joe a little bit, and you mentioned some adjustments down around Laughlin on some of the borders.
Yes.
Through some discussion and whatnot. Could you bring up the map for me? And maybe just give me a general idea of what, if that map is current or is that the old map, so I can have a feel for what you did adjust.
This is rough. It's in purple. I hand drew the monument. The monument in the Laughlin area did go something like this.
Uh-huh.
So that Laughlin OHV, the area that the county wanted to have, we took that out of the monument.
Okay.
At the request of, well, the city of Laughlin wanted everything south of 163 off, but that wasn't, they were very important, Ico Canyon and very important cultural resources. So we met them as far as we could in taking that OHV area out. So it follows that gas line road, familiar with the gas line road mm-hmm. there? So everything on the east side of the gas line road is out of the monument.
Okay.
Yeah.
So from the Moran aspect, they're going to be interested in, I'm going to say south of that. They use a canyon, you know, up there where the highway winds through the canyon is where they utilize the pits. And I'm not sure if that, or if I'm...
That's outside.
Okay.
On the other side of the road, that's inside.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then I
can. And some of that's already part of Lake Mead.
As well as the rest of us.
But the little part on the inside of that road that's not Lake Mead is included in the monument. Mm-hmm. But everything south of 163 there, where that staging area that you're talking about, that's outside the monument.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then there was a lot of discussion about the wind farm and the Crescent Peak area, because that was such a deep interest of the Moran entity for their desert races out there. And the folks brought it up that, you know, it's, you know, the wind farm's the problem for everybody. So that some of those lands that are on the other side of the mountain that Moran's interested in actually aren't going to be encroached upon. Fortunately, they're just really close in proximity, right there just above Nipton.
Mm-hmm.
Literally just on the other side of the border, but not quite up there where the wind farm was going to be. But without discussion and dialogue, you know, there's a lot of questions to be asked, and therefore, you know.
Well, I just like to do it different than we did it in the past. So, right, the unconformity, I did it one way. I worked with the tribe and all of these things. They didn't want anything built, anything. Well, guess what? I'm the only one that goes out there to clean up the unconformity on a regular basis, right? But it's a protected atmosphere. Then Tule Springs Monument, I begged everybody to go with BLM as opposed to the National Park Service. I support that. I was out there on the first, on the second big dig in 1995. Support that. But today, guess who's the only person who's put up money? Our county, right? We can't even get meetings to go forward. I've been trying to put in fencing so that people will stop shooting out there because it's really not safe because now a lot of people go out there. And I can't get that done for 5 years, and I'm paying for it, right? So then I have Gold Butte, which everybody sat in a room, and the local community, they go up there, they have their family reunions, they've been taking care of that. Clark County's been grading it so people can enjoy it for years. We've protected it. We've been able to keep the Muddy River in a good spot, the Virgin River, where they combine there, protect the wildlife. But now, BLM, they're, since Gail retired, I can't even get a return call to, how do we do this? And one time in 5 years, the environmental groups, the Gold Butte folks said, okay, we'll get a bunch of volunteers together. But, oh, by the way, Clark County, you got to pay for it, right? You got to pay for all the materials, you got to pay for all these things. And I've not heard from them until just last week when they applied for a grant and they wanted money. And I'm like, okay, but guess who's been going out there and cleaning it? The church. Because they grew up, that's their legacy. So I'm just saying that at some point, original Native Nevadans, these were our public lands to utilize. Not to pick and choose who gets to utilize them. And one of the big things was outdoor recreation, whether it's mountain biking, whether it's OHV, whether it's Jeeps on the trails. The Mint 400 was a way of life from the time I was 2 until the time I was 22 when it went away. But it went away because so many more people are moving here, and that's not what they believe public land is. Well, that is public land to us. That's what we called it, right? And those economic values, when they all went away, no one cared.
And that's
and now you're telling me that it's economic value, but how come no one's fighting the solar stuff? Because the solar is way more dangerous than these 10 wind farms. And I support I've been supporting those people a long time on the wind farms. That's why Clark County has never approved them. And you guys know that. But at the same time, while you're watching this, they're 244,000 acres of land is on a 2030 priority to be developed as solar. So there will be no public lands.
Yeah. I agree totally.
Well, good, because I'm going to invite you to my damn solar fights because they're just as important as the wind farm because there's cultural things out there too.
And you're right in management. I mean, I came from the federal manager standpoint. You know, there's 100 less positions at Lake Mead National Recreation Area now than there was when I worked there. So, you know, it is a difficult, there is a staff.
But it's our turn to be first, right, on what we want and need. Because I'm telling you, as much as you went out to Sandy Valley to talk to them, they fought 100% on OHV use in their community. Actually benefits economically from it. So unless we can designate some trails and have those specifics in there, we will go backwards. I will go backwards, and I'm not okay with that.
Well, I may be prejudiced, but I like the backcountry system we developed at Lake Mead.
Yeah, well, tell them damn Californians,
baby. Everything has a name to it and a number to it, and they're all
black.
The problem with these out there, you don't know what route you're on.
Exactly, but that's what this committee has been doing for almost 2 years, trying to put together those shake files so we could see what's been designated.
Yeah.
And what we've been using for 50 years, somebody who moved to Nevada 6 years ago says, oh, no, I don't see it on any map. Well, look at it. It's been utilized for years. Not very often do Kenny and I agree on things, but on this, I'm standing strong.
So, thank you very much, Marilyn. And I want to say that's what we do want. We do want these trails to be designated. We do want all of this used to be preserved. We would love for there to be better upkeep. And so, if we should move forward with potentially looking for a meeting with your office to talk about a broader...
Oh, for sure you're going to have to meet with my office, because now I know, and I text both my commissioners and say, thanks for the heads up.
Sure.
A suggestion, because Commissioner Kirkpatrick made me think it's something, you know, the problem is when other people come here, they have a different interpretation of things, what a national monument is from what we, you know, or outdoor recreation for us is different from somebody from back east. It's just different.
Yeah.
Just a suggestion, because I'm like super simplistic, right? The name of your monument, maybe you just add to the end, like, you know, Clark County Outdoor Public Recreation
Monument.
Preserve monument, or so you add that onto the end. So there is no question when somebody reads this, they
that
say, here's this monument for Indians and citizens for outdoor use. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, it's going to be like, no offense, but the California guy who came in and just employed at our local BLM is going to say, oh, national monuments where I come from, you can't touch those. You know what I mean? Just a suggestion.
Yeah.
We should try to do that when we're like, developing OHV areas, is to be like recreational areas. So there is no question in the title. You don't have to go down and look four pages deep and say, what's the requirements? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is it. Well, your intent, right? What was your intent? You want to get your intent across.
I think it's important. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know whether we do the name change, but the intent, I think, is really important. And particularly the legislation and... So that's clear.
Well, the preamble, the intent means nothing, because it's how you interpret the intent.
Correct.
Unless it's written down in a preamble on the expectation, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, as much as people hate our public lands bill, there's a portion of money set aside in there to designate all these trails across the valley, because they keep getting lost in the shuffle.
I will say the Nevada Conservation League is supportive of the public lands bill and has been
we appreciate that.
Putting in some work on it.
They're kind of supportive.
Depends. Yeah, kind of.
So thank you all so much for your
so
time.
So can I sign you up to help me fight this solar crap so that we can actually...
Can't even ask a question.
I am not authorized to answer that question, but I'd love to talk with you about it.
Hey, Gabriel, I think Kenny has one more question.
Yeah. I received the Nevada Conservation League email that comes out. And I think, you guys are really supportive of renewable power. And I think you need to take another look at this, because what you're doing is pushing this on public lands. And public lands affects all of us with this renewable power. And there's a better place for all of it. And it's not on public lands, it's on somebody's roof.
We agree. Some of that polling language shows that Nevadans agree. It's something like 70% of Nevadans would prefer that we didn't put renewable energy on public lands. The Nevada Conservation League has previously sponsored state legislation that would help get more solar energy on our roofs. And that has not always moved forward, but we will continue to fight that fight, because I agree with you.
And maybe we can get you on board. Like Marilyn said, and Kenny brought up, maybe we can work together on those other projects and get your organizations on board. We all need to compromise. You know, I know there has to be compromise, so maybe... We typically have just the OHV community on our side, and once in a while we get conservationists or environmentalists. Sometimes we're on the same page, but it'd be really good, because I don't, like Mike said, when we first saw National Monument, we all freaked out because we thought, oh my God, because that's just what we hear in our head and what we've been experienced over the years. So until Steve had that conversation with you guys and then we had more conversations, it was... You know, it seemed like it's a way really just to stop wind and keep access, but a lot of points, important points were made by everybody tonight, and I think there just needs a lot more conversation going forward, and like Marilyn said, you know, maybe some funding to put into that bill, you know, that there's, and really descriptive language that it's going to be used for, that's what we, in the lands bill, that's what we really demanded. And they took it out at first. They even took out Clark County, the OHV recreation area, out of the ones we wanted designated, and we demanded, no, you can't take that out because there's too much room for interpretation. There's going to be somebody from an office saying, well, it doesn't say recreation, so it's not allowed, and that's not true. So the more clear and descriptive you can become, you know, put in your language is so important, because it takes away interpretation, because we talked about it earlier today, you know, even just the different BLM offices interpret things differently. So we just want to be a part of the conversation is really what we want to be.
That's why we're here, and that's why we'll be back.
Well,
Well, if you can encourage people to stay within the utility corridor where we operate, that'd be even better.
One more point, no, just kidding.
Well, on the renewable energies, to Kenny's point there, and it's very, how come, maybe you, this could help in your cause, I don't know. Why, to me, and you help me out, Commissioner, that when they put these wind farms on, the county doesn't get any money, like on a reoccurring basis? Boulder City does. That's why you see all these solar things.
Boulder City bought all that land and kept it.
So why can't?
And they bought, they purchased it. So they own all that land.
Correct.
And they use it instead of tax revenue.
So how is the state of Nevada giving free use of our land to California to generate power on our land?
I feel the same way about the battery. You're the world's fourth largest supplier of coal.
Isn't that the question?
We don't hardly get anybody from them. So it's the way the federal government works, and I would be happy to work with you.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. We will talk further. We appreciate it.
What was the name of the monument that shut down the Vegas Arena?
That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
It's in Lincoln County.
Oh, thank you. We'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, so the one they just went through, you had to do 35 miles an hour.
Obama
did it or something.
Yeah, they've done that, and they used to have a couple of Moran races out there that they...
But the one race, they had to move the trucks onto trailers.
That, I think, wasn't that, well, part of that was a crash.
It was a crash. It was Nellis, it was air,
Yeah.
All right, okay, we need to get back on our agenda. Thank you very much. I think some great points were made, you know. It's all about conversation. Because when we first heard about it, we didn't know anything, right? So it was too much confusion. So it's good that we just keep pushing, whether you agree or not, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just worried that it's
still not all.
They could tell them whatever they want, but it's up to the BLM is going to interpret how it's going to be.
It's got to be language.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. It has to be, so I think we need to push that.
You saw how Joe was, you know, the president of Moran. You know, look at all the questions and misinterpretation he had. Yeah. I couldn't explain it all to him. And it's so good to be able to sit face to face and get an understanding with these guys, whether I agree with them or not. But at least then I know I'm on the same page.
Yeah, that's the thing, is we had no idea what we were looking at. And we thought it was a bill that was, you know, and it was, it's not legislation currently. So.
Well, but if you didn't bring it up, it would have been, and we never had heard about it.
Well, no, they weren't even, they weren't, it was, they were just getting, trying to get the approval.
Yeah, they're just looking for support.
Support from the state.
If we didn't know about it,
they
just
reached out to Searchlight's folks.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly.
And those folks called me up. And then next thing I know, I'm hearing from him, and let's talk. So they met with me privately, and then I arranged for us to be able to sit and talk with them. But I don't know. The more we talk and work with them, maybe we can come to a meeting.
At least we're part of the conversation.
And get what, some of what we need and some of what they need.
To Kenny's point, I'm my fear, no matter how sincere they are, once it leaves their office and goes somewhere else, and somebody sees National Monument, they're going to be like, the existing National Monument precedent is like, you have to go 35 miles an hour.
Well, so, trust me. I may sound like I'm like totally behind them, but I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I want to hear them out, and then I want to give my input, and then I hope it gets somewhere.
Exactly. No, and that education is the most important thing. Yep. Information is the most important. So thank you, everybody. All right, next. Let's see. Committee to discuss the Bureau of Land Management permit process. I think Mike suggested this for the agenda.
More of the county, but the BLM, though, to your point, Kenny, if we, I don't know, I'm trying to think back a couple years ago, like when Clark County, the commissioners were like, no, because they can have discourse with the BLM and share with the BLM what their wishes are, whether they do it or not, but I would think they would listen to them more than they would listen to us, is, hey, we want to allow off-road events here. Like, exactly, Commissioner Patrick did a great job. This is historic, right? Mm-hmm. This is a historic deal. And if Clark County wants it and the BLM manages it, then at least Clark County is like, maybe just give them a letter and say, dude, you guys need to make this easier. You need to approve it. You need to be helpful. because of the economic impacts like that he was posting on the board up there, right? That's a huge economic deal. Yep. I don't know. I mean, if you don't think it would help.
It's a great format of your thinking, because the impact of, you know, the economics, the concerns about the having access to it, it's all got to come hand in hand, and they seem to understand it and want to move forward with it. Okay, fine. If we all meet in the middle and can get this done, wonderful, because then we still can have access. They can hold off the development with a little clout, you know, and if the county wants to get behind it and show some more clout, we stand to benefit. You've got some great concerns, and you know, probably had a little bit louder voice than some of the rest of us. I was glad Joe was there, because he sounded off, and we all need to be able to verbalize that to these folks. Otherwise, you know, our opinions go.
Well, I think they just look at us as individuals, you know, and my personal opinion is they don't view us as organizers, race organizers, as the public. You know, they're supposed to manage public land. Well, the race is public people, you know, citizens using public land. Now, if you think, Kenny, that like they're cool and they're just going to approve everything, then I would say okay. But maybe it just the county commissioners, hey guys, can you help us out here?
It wouldn't hurt at all. I mean, recently, I'd say in the last 3 years, the permitting process has got a lot easier here in Clark County. It would some input from the county commissioners would help. It's going to sway decisions. They've still got to jump through the hurdles of the different environmental hurdles, and they've got to go through, you know, they've got to protect themselves and protect the public. But it has got a lot easier, and stipulations have been relaxed. They go more off of what your track record is, where, you know, the new guy comes in and it's a tough deal for them to get a permit. Where somebody's got a proven track record, it gets smoothed out a lot easier to make happen. But the county commissioner input would help.
And I know she's, I mean, I can say for myself that she's helped already, just with different things that have happened here in Clark County.
Well, yeah, with your deal. But so could we, help me out here on the right way to do it? Can we recommend?
Well, I don't really know what you're asking. I mean, are you?
So right, that's what I'm saying. So we recommend to the Clark County commissioners to either draft a letter or, you know, to the BLM saying, hey, the economic impacts are so great with off-road events, we would ask for your help in making those happen.
But for the entire community? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Everything.
Because I can tell you that I can see that hard, because every area has a different concern. So
it's only Clark County. We're only worried about Clark County.
Yeah, I think Kenny Thatcher brought some of that subject matter up. Remember, he had some of those printouts the one meeting, and it was kind of a study of some of Arizona's data in comparison to how things are developing in Clark County.
For
economic impact.
Oh, no, yeah, we have. I understand that, but I'm just saying so you want to ask?
Need to be very, very short and sweet. It just basically, you know what I mean. The Clark County.
To encourage the BLM to process permits.
This for economic impact. Can you please help us out?
Well, and this is discussion. So we can't act on these. We can put it on the agenda.
As an individual, if you don't want to wait for it to be on another agenda, because it's not an action item tonight.
It's just a discussion item. Yeah.
It was just.
Well, to your point.
It was requested as a discussion.
Yeah.
So you could, as an individual, reach out, send an email, make a phone call to us, or.
Well, but to your point, though, I want it to look like we're doing something as the OHV committee, and it doesn't have to be immediate, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But just for long term,
in the future,
right?
We think about
going forward, right? I just want the BLM to know when Moran shows up to pull a permit, it's not Moran showing up to pull a permit. It's like Moran showing up, and the Clark County wants this stuff to happen economically, right? So we don't need to ask Clark County if it's cool or not. They just know that, and whatever, you know, whatever that means. I mean, they obviously have more clout than we as a committee or us as individuals. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think, I mean...
Then yes, if you want that to be an action item on the next agenda.
We could put it on the agenda. Just to garner a letter of support from the county.
Something short and sweet.
We'll put that on there.
And the county commissioner could say, no, we don't want to encourage that. And they could vote it down, you know.
All right, so we'll put it on the next agenda as item.
What do you put on it?
Nothing, we're not doing anything here. We're in a bad one, so we're going to move on. No. Are we all right now?
Okay, rail assistance and monuments? I need another monument, like I need a hole in my head.
Right.
I'm sorry. All right, we'll move on to business items. The first one, off-highway committee members to request the Board of County Commissioners to extend the committee due to lost time related to COVID-related restrictions. This is an action item or possible action item. I mean, I know I'm interested in continuing. I would hope that others are. I know we need to add people. We are missing two spots. So I know Donald let me know that he possibly, just because of his work commitment and his and other commitments, that he probably wouldn't have the time. He feels bad because he doesn't have the time to commit. Because we do. I do want to strongly encourage, if we do go forward, get blessed by the county commissioners. Mm-hmm. And people do want to sign up, that we really commit to working hard and working on the tasks that we, you know, we all have task assignments, but I think sometimes, I mean, COVID sucked, so we can't even think about COVID. But prior to COVID, there were task assignments we had, and sometimes they didn't get, you know, no one did anything. So we really need to commit to those kind of things going forward. And that's my two cents.
Well, if you want my input here, I would say, you guys, we bit off more than we could chew. We got to have some smaller wins, and so that we build momentum amongst the group as a whole. So I think there's some smaller things that we can do first and foremost. And then two, I just have to be mindful. So if we can try and schedule them to where at 5:30 Amelia can go, because this is really not Amelia's job, and I hijacked her for this job, so I at least got to try and get her home on time.
I don't think that's a problem. I don't think we even set the time originally. That was the time frame we were given. Right. You know, in the beginning, right?
I don't disagree
because I think everybody. So yeah, so I think going forward, we could work within that time.
Get out of here and get home.
Yeah.
She deserves it.
Yeah.
I think there are things that, I mean, just even doing, I was speaking to Republic Services, Jeremy Walters, and just cleanups.
Yeah.
If we clean up, you know what I'm saying? If we even did those kind of activities, show that the OHV community, and we get more support, we work trying to get our community as a whole to get together. That's the hardest thing. If we had our community together.
Go, because Moran has gotten heavily involved, but we seem to focus on one place all the time, Chief. And it's probably because a lot of our races happen out there. There's no reason why we can't branch out and like bounce out to Bitter Springs where we race sometimes, or over there at Crescent Peak, wherever it's needed. I know good and well that our entity would get involved, and I bet you a dollar to a donut the rest of us would too.
Oh, absolutely. I think they're all looking for that. So
because we want to be involved.
Well, then we need to kind of, I'm just speaking out of turn. No. I'm just saying that, but then we need to make flyers that we can send to the BLM that shows that we're taking some ownership, so now they got to step up and help us.
No, I think that, yeah.
Highlight our...
Yeah. I know for a fact, and you guys probably have seen it too, when you guys have had cleanups, because I've seen it go on, they'll pitch in the dumpsters for us and hook us up that way. And I know you guys have done cleanups because I've seen them announced.
Logandale Trails is one of the cleanest, and that's because twice a year.
I've been out there, I've seen it, it's pretty decent.
We do the one for the Mint 400, and it's always a great turnout.
November 20th. How did the Martellis organize that?
Jeremy Walters, Jeremy Walters, and I know Kevin has showed interest in being considered, and I don't know if we'll find out through the application process, we'll talk about that, he's interested in applying to be on the committee, but that's what they do. They work with Republic Services, that's one of their big sponsors, and he generates it locally, along with Martelli Brothers, along with Jason Pritchard, who is a local Las Vegan, who organizes that as well, and just gets community involvement. And what they be on, they work closely with the BLM on that project.
Well, here's what I would say. Please don't make me go through the application process again, because that was painful. Just
well, no,
give
we
me
would
the names of the people that you want to stay on it.
Okay.
So.
We have somebody at the end of the table.
Yes, oh, no. And you know what I got to say? He comes to every meeting. He's been here from the beginning and is very active. And we need someone from the Jeep community. That's I think it'd be awesome. So we just give you names?
Yeah, please do it that way so I can just.
Whatever. If we can do it that way, we would love to.
Yeah, because I was saying it's
okay.
An existing community, and these were all.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
How many did we originally have?
We had two more. We had, we'll find out. Yeah, because we had Charles Law.
Law.
Law. Sorry. And Sue Baker. And Sue Baker was not a voting member.
Original 10 positions.
Yeah, it's so much easier for me to just put names in.
Right.
Than to just to listen and appointing these people without taking applications.
So we need to first confirm the existing
Charles
members.
Because we already have someone from that area that wants to take over, and so it's the same representation.
Oh,
what the original.
And that's Nick. Is that Nick?
Nate.
Or no, Nate. Some change in everyone's
name. Point, Steve. So we need to continue on how it was originally set up.
Well, would be best because otherwise the commissioners will want to add the conservation league.
Oh no, no, we're going to keep it the same. But we need to confirm.
It's a whole new board.
It would probably not work out so good if I was to suggest another Moran person.
Well, I just think we need to have.
It just depends on what the position, like, because.
Another person.
I'm just like a normal person.
Well, that's.
Even though I do off-road racing, but that's not my position.
Okay.
I think we need to confirm first the existing members who's committed to it. We'll have to check with Kenny Thatcher. Is everyone here today committed to it?
Yeah.
Okay. So then we'll check with Kenny Thatcher, Donald, which I don't think Donald is. I spoke to Donald. Donald, Sue Baker will replace because she's retired, and she's no longer on the her position. Is no longer with the state OHV organization, and Kenny Thatcher. I already said that. And then we'll present names to you, and Kevin will make sure that. Your name
maybe
is on
we could
that.
Get someone from Best in the Desert. I hate to say it, but to replace.
Oh, it's possible. Yeah, the new director. Yeah.
Oh no, I think we need to have a very wide representation of all different. I mean, the Jeep community, the UTV community. I think it's important.
Probably more within the full size the full size vehicle community.
Yeah.
They would like to have someone just besides me. I'm just.
Well, I know the Nick from the FJ group, FJ Off-Road, he's interested. He's because he had asked if there was going to be any. I know Jeremy Walters from Public Services because I do all the outdoor cleanup, a lot of outdoor cleanups.
Well, here's the thing, though, Debbie. You can, and I'll verify this, but
okay.
You can do subcommittees and include those people.
So okay, gotcha.
You can broaden
so
it.
If we don't have enough seats, we could have subcommittees, and they don't have to be.
Right. Because at the
that
end
might
of the day,
be a good idea.
What you don't want to do, Amelia, you're taking minutes, right? But you know how I roll, right? What you don't
it's
want to do is what you don't want for them to. It's a new board who wants new things, and for them. Dude, I was blowing up the county commissioners. Another monument? Really? I asked why were all those people speaking on that resolution, and nobody fessed up, and now they're all, ooh, didn't commit to anything. I'm like, yeah, well, that's not what I heard. So.
All right, so we're going to confirm to everybody here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I will check with Kenny Thatcher, Donald Nelson, and then we also have those other two positions, Sue and.
And you don't even need to refill those other two positions if you don't want to.
No, I think
as much as create a subcommittee that could deal with the bigger off-road stuff, and they can still come. They just won't be voting members.
Well, I think it'd be good for the, but outside looking in, it'd be good to replace. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want it to look like we're this little
taking
niche.
Over.
Yeah, I think we could fill the seats that we had, but not increase it. And then do subcommittees, like you suggested.
Okay.
All right.
What would be the point of filling Sue Baker's seat, though, especially if she was a non-voting member?
Because she brought to the table, though, information.
It'd be nice to have
another conversation
where the grants are, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Clark County should be getting those grants. Well, but she represented the OHV committee.
Right, the state OHV.
The state one.
Yeah.
So it'd be.
We could see if somebody on there. Well, actually, there. Did the governor just appoint them, or are they in there looking? I think they just.
I think the applications out. I forget who we appointed as NECO, someone from the.
I was going to say they think they just. I just looked on their website. All right. But that, I mean, she did bring a lot. It was a great liaison. I think that was the whole purpose. because she brought great information to us, so.
Well, quite frankly, we keep giving all the money back up north, so we must. And Clark County funded the first 500,000 of it. And we've got,
well, we got some. Ross got some money for his 2 years. Yeah. No, we need to apply for those funds when it comes available again. I mean, there's so cleanup operations or marketing, designating. We just, there's so many things we could apply. I just don't think we.
I applied for a grant.
I was going to say, did you?
Market Trail.
Yeah.
BLM says no.
Well, no, not through BLM. I'm talking through the state OHV.
Well, no, through the state, but it's on BLM land.
Yeah.
And the BLM said, no, you can't mark that trail.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, they said it was, it's a used trail in the McCulloch's. It goes around the McCulloch Mountain there.
Yeah.
And they said that it's too close to the wilderness area. And I go, what? This keeps them out of the wilderness area.
Because you're down where the trail is.
But that's their philosophy. They just said, no, we'd rather just not, don't mark it.
All right. So we do have, so then that means we do have the blessing? Or do you have to get approval?
We can be done by 5:30, because.
We can make it.
So then we just, I have Gina submit it that this is going to be on the BCC agenda. Okay.
Thank you. Here, here.
And we would start at our normal start time. We just ended at 5:30.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes, you got 3 minutes, just so you know.
So just make a vote that you're going to support the decision to submit that to the Board of County Commissioners.
I think you just, I don't think you have to take a vote as much as direct the County Commissioner's office, or this committee directs the County Commissioner's office to keep the committee going.
Yeah, because we still have through August on our current term.
Right. Rapidly approaching, though.
I know. our Earth is spinning way faster. All right. So is that good for the, we clear that up? Is that good? All right. Next, discuss Senate Bill 170 and Assembly Bill 320 and the impacts they could have on the OHV community and possible actions that may be taken. Well, this is kind of mute because 170 was dead. It died in on the floor, or not even made it to the floor, really. 320, actually, the legislation ends on June 1st or May 31st, and it's already been approved by the Senate. It's in Assembly, and actually it's just waiting for the amendment to look at, so I think it'll be approved.
What does the bill do?
Bill 320 is actually allowing large ATV or UTV vehicles to ride on county roads, main county roads, if the population is less than 25,000 people. But so that leaves that Clark, Las Vegas, Henderson's out, North Las Vegas, so, but anything with 25,000 or less. But the local entity, like the county or the city of that area, still has to draw up an ordinance that allows, gives permission. So
whose bill is that? I mean, here's what
it's Hardy and Levitt.
Joe Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's weird because he's from Boulder City, and Boulder City voted down. They don't want people driving on their.
Well, road. I just.
Well, that was before this bill, though. That was their. Yeah, they mm-hmm. did. So, and that's why they're putting
in
it back.
Clark County, they can't use it anyway.
Here we can't. Yeah. So I mean, it doesn't real, but we're not. We're represent. You know, we're. It's still, if we go to other areas, it's good to know, and it's good to get the information.
Is that the one that requires out of state to have a permit?
No, that bill is the one that got shut down. That was Bill 170.
That one, I just thought was going to hurt tourism.
That got shut down. Well, they were trying to change also that the registration, like if you register the vehicle with DMV, that actually went to a different agency, not.
It just would have been tough for somebody from out of state to come here and get a ticket because they couldn't get it. It's like you go to Utah, you go to the Mammoth truck stop, you can get a non-resident sticker. It's no big deal. Here, you got to pull teeth to get a sticker from somebody.
Right.
Utah's getting kind of tough, though. I mean,
they changed theirs.
We used to be able to get it at the Maverick, and we can't get it at the Maverick. Now we have to go to St. George to get it.
Isn't there a reciprocity, though? So.
They did away with it in
dealer,
Utah.
You can get it there.
Where?
It's
in
money.
In Cedar?
Oh, in Cedar. Oh, we're more this way, okay. By Pinto.
But you can still, and they still do have them in Cedar at the Maverick, because I've got them there.
I'll have to try that.
I've done it online.
That's how I did it online.
I need it,
like,
right now, so I don't get a ticket. But
yeah, so anyway, so that's what the two bills, like I said, Bill 170 was killed. So 320 is the one, and it looks like it's going to pass. It was sponsored by Assemblyman Levitt, was actually who sponsored it. It also calls for Because it used to not say main county roads. It used to be if you could cross, get from one highway to the other.
Right.
Now it's the bill also adds main county roads to the list of designated highways upon which a person may operate a large ATV.
That's interesting because they both represent Boulder City, so yeah. They're doing it in spite of Boulder City.
Right.
Like, yeah, so I don't.
He's old school, so yeah.
That's unless he's hoping that this bill will then get the state bill will get Boulder City to fold.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying? At their next.
No, but that's state highways, right?
You know what it was? Is because I think a bunch of Californians who moved Boulder City didn't want it, and the locals were like, "What?"
Yeah, so all eight cities except Carson City, Henderson, Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, Reno, and Sparks. It also you also have to be registered, though. It has to be registered with the Department of Motor Vehicles and insured because you're on a public highway. What I did find funny is that one of the recreational organizations, the Recreational Off-Highway Vehicle Association, wrote a letter not opposing it because they don't believe there's ATVs are meant built. The safety is not built into the to go on.
Well, you can't get insurance on it unless it's street legal. So.
Well, that's what they're saying. You can't register unless it's...
No, you can't get insurance,
yeah.
Even if it's not street legal.
Well, and here you have to be registered. You have to be a registered vehicle with DMV, so you have to have your proper mirrors, and there's a few things you can.
Right. But I'm saying you can already do that anyways. You can already write it.
But not on main county roads, not in certain cities.
You can cross.
I mean, they do. They let's say they allow it, but legally.
I think in Logan Dale, we let people do it all day long.
I just think that local municipalities, municipalities are, you know, they.
Well, and that's why
they go ahead and do
right, and that's what they're giving it back to the local local municipalities to make those decisions, really. But the state's okay.
That you got to have the registration insurance
right
in place, and then you're fine.
So that's what those two bills are. Like I said, it's too. I mean, they're already one's dead, and one is going to be. Looks like it's going to be passed on Monday or tomorrow, actually, because the legislation ends on the 1st. So I just wanted to bring it to the attention of people, just so they know. And that's it on those two items. I think it's important that, you know, if we learn about legislation, that we should bring it. The next one, committee to determine their next meeting date, which I think.
So we have no meeting dates really, technically, because. I mean, it had to officially be approved.
Well, we're good through to August, though. Our term doesn't end through August.
Yeah, so the next one is July 28th.
Right.
So you really didn't vote on it, but if you're good with meeting on July, I don't know if Maryland's schedule would allow for that, though.
Make sure Jason can come. I'm on vacation.
Oh, okay. So would that then be our final one?
It would have been your final one, except I'm going to put it on the June 20th meeting, right?
Okay.
I'm going to put it on the consent.
So tentatively, we'll look at July 28th from 4 to 5:30
in person. I'll let you know if Gibson's schedule.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we'll work. Yeah, if not, just let me know and we're flexible.
No, he committed. Come on.
I'm going to click this off.
Tim, not nice to people today. Sorry.
Let's see. And that's the last thing on under our business items. Any comment? General public now is open again. No one for public comment. At that point, I guess we can move to adjourn. And thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate it. Second. Do we have to move it? All those in favor? Thank you. Amelia, thank you for the list, too.